My grandfather died when I was just 5, but I can vividly remember some of the stories he told. One such tale was about an evening out he and my grandmother had with another couple. It was post-World War II, and they had wanted to try a new Italian restaurant. Now, according to the story, they enjoyed a great meal, and when deciding on dessert, ordered a pizza pie. What came to the table, of course, was not dessert. They ate it anyway and had a grand time doing it, and an even grander time telling the story the next 40 years. It's hard to imagine a time when something that is so ubiquitous now was unfamiliar and exotic. But that's the case with a lot of foods that are now commonplace in the strip centers and mall food courts all over the U.S. Tacos and egg rolls are served side by side with burgers and hot dogs. In my lifetime, sushi has been the cuisine I've watched march steadily into the mainstream. I had my first sushi experience soon after college when one of my well-traveled buddies was getting married. We started off the evening's bachelor party activities at a sushi restaurant. Now, I'm sworn to secrecy about the rest of that night, but I do have clearance to discuss the sushi. Now, I had no clue what I was doing, so I let my buddy do all the ordering, and I just ate without asking too many questions. And a lot of sake helped bolster my courage to try some things that were quite a shock to my Midwestern palate. Now, since that time, I've come to really enjoy sushi. Although I'm still not as experimental as my buddy, he eats small creatures that are literally still alive. After a few sushi restaurant dinners, I got curious about an appetizer I'd been seeing people eat from time to time. I inquired, and I learned that it was edamame. Now that sounded exotic. On my next visit, I ordered some, feeling very cosmopolitan while doing so. They came steamed and salted in a medium-sized bowl. And taking a cue from those I had seen eating them, I raised a pod to my lips and squeezed it into my mouth, and then the two or three beans inside, now they're sort of like small lima beans in texture, but not at all slimy, the two beans, nutty and quite tasty, just popped right inside my mouth. Now, edamame became a frequent starter to my sushi dishes, and I had eaten them several times before I learned the other, slightly less exotic name for them. Soybeans. I was surprised to learn that what I thought was an international delicacy was the same crop I saw growing along nearly every country road outside my hometown. Soy, of course, is a major component of the American diet. It gets processed into sweeteners, made into milk and baby formula, and even gets pressed into burger-like patties. In its unprocessed state, however, I'm guessing it doesn't show up too often on a typical family's dinner table. But maybe it should. It tastes great. Packs a nutritional wallop, and it's simple to prepare. You can usually find it bagged in the vegetable section of the frozen food aisle, right beside the corn, peas, and green beans. The bag will usually provide directions, and that sometimes means boiling it in salted water for just a few minutes. But you can even find fresh edamame sometimes in the produce section. When it's grilling season, I like to smoke my edamame. Now, it's really simple. You can soak some wood chips in water for about 30 minutes before your grill's ready. Cook the edamame as directed, drain it, and then put it in a foil pouch. Punch a few holes in the top and bottom of that pouch, and then put it on the grill. But don't put it directly over the coals. Now, throw a handful of soaked wood chips on the coals, and while you're grilling the main course, let the edamame take in the smoke. You can get the full recipe on the website. Now, edamame is a great appetizer, side dish, and it's not too filling, leaving lots of room for dessert. But you might want to think twice about that pizza pie.